Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
A lot of really good chances. We really cleaned up our entries. You know, we worked hard on that the previous 3 days. Getting in the zone cleaner. There's so much good stuff, and I'm going to have to sit here and be pissed off about the end of the game.
That's where it got away from the Sabres as they fall 3-1 to the Kings. Lindy would go on to say that you're not going to win scoring one goal per game. There is only one team in the NHL so far this year that has won when scoring but one goal. That was Montreal over Toronto, 1-0. Marty, if the focus has been on the power play this week, what would the focus be on today in advance of tomorrow's game against the Florida Panthers, who lost last night in Ottawa?
I'm sure that Lindy Ruff and his staff are going to show the guys the scoring chances that they created, because they created a lot of them, and just give them an idea of, hey, okay, this is what the position you put yourself in. See it, visualize it, right? Because you're better at most of the guys that got the scoring chances are good scorers. They're good players. They can score goals. Like, see it. See that you have room to shoot at. See that you can beat a goaltender one-on-one. I think that's what I would focus on. Now, the game yesterday was, in large part, 90% of the game was really good. Really, really good. In creating offense, in defending, in puck possession, and everything. There was two parts of the game that wasn't good. Your 5-on-3 for a minute 9 was not good. And look, we can look at the setup in zone. We can look at how they lost valuable time on that 5-on-3 that they had to go back twice to get the puck and break out and come back in. That's a big part of it. And the Samuelson penalty, which Lindy's already talked about it. He said, lack of composure. You're 5-on-4. You're in a 1-1 tie game. It's late in the third period. I get what Samuelson is trying to do. He's trying to get body and stick positioning on his player in the corner. But you cannot come down in the way that he did on top of the stick and with a broken stick on the LA Kings player, expect not to get called. That's an easy call for the referee who's standing right there in the other corner. So, yeah, those were the two points of the game. Now, I can analyze the rest of it and, you know, what they did great, and nobody wants to hear that. They're 0-3, but that's really how I see the game yesterday and what I think the message is this morning.
The Samuelson penalty wouldn't have occurred had Buffalo been at even strength, I would presume. And the only reason they were down a man already was because of the call on Zucker, which is the more controversial of the two in the minds of many. I look at it this way. I have watched way too much sports in my life only to realize that some things are true, which is star players get the benefit of most calls in all sports. Peter Forsberg is a legend in the game for the exact play that Jason Zucker made last night on Brant Clark. Is it interference? In my opinion, 100%, because Clark isn't even able to get to the puck yet. And that's not what they called, by the way. They called roughing, correct?
Yeah, because they hit to the head, basically.
Right. But anyway, you get my point. If he were, and it's kind of saying something when he's played 700 games in the NHL and has a pretty nice resume and is a respected player, it's kind of crazy to me that that penalty gets called. However, well, until team fortunes change, you tend not to get calls like that in your face. That's my belief. in the overarching look at professional sports.
It's like that in football. It's like that in baseball. A good pitcher gets the call an inch off the plate, and a bad pitcher or a rookie pitcher is not going to get that call. Mm-hmm. That's the way it goes. Now, Peter Forsberg is a different time of the game, the way it was played. And I think the league has, and the referees have been basically told that to watch that reverse hit, right? Because J.P. Dumont used to do it all the time. J.P. Dumont wasn't a superstar and would
Daniel
get away
Alfredson
with it.
Daniel Alfredson used to do it a lot for
Daniel
Ottawa.
Alfredson.
And like, I remember playing Derek's, the Sabres a gazillion times a year. Everybody saw it.
With the Rangers, Derek Stepan used to do it all the time. Actually got suspended one time because his elbow came back and hit somebody in the head and he got a suspension. Mm-hmm. But there was no call on the play. So the problem that I have with the Zucker hit, and I was talking to, and I know Sabres fans are going to say, why are you talking to this guy? But Brian Smolinski was at the game last night. I talked to him after the game. We were talking about that exact play. And just kind
Can
of
you
picking.
Characterize, like, put into context why you were talking to Brian, i.e. what is he doing now? Because people,
yes,
no matter what position he's holding, people would like to wipe the smug look off his face.
Yes. Okay. So Brian Smolinski's son plays for RPI. RPI is in town to play Canisius. So RPI, like, they were here last night to practice and whatnot. Yes. So that's number one. Number two, Brian Smolinski is working with the NHL at the Learn to Play program. So he works closely with Ed Grzynski, Rich Jarrell, our community relations department. Mm-hmm. He's here a few times a year. Does an unbelievable job with the grassroots programs, the Learn to Skate, Learn to Play program. And that's why he's in Buffalo often, you know, to be able to talk to Pat Coletta about it and everything. So, and Smo's a good guy. He is an arrogant little, you know what, when he was on the ice, but he's a good guy.
I believe so cocky is the nicer version. Maybe it's not.
Yeah,
What's more of a criticism of somebody? Arrogant or cocky?
Yeah,
I guess cocky. They're almost in the same package. Thing. You can't really be one or the other, right?
Yeah, it's the same thing. But so we're talking about it. And I kind of brought it back up on my phone to rewatch it, whatnot. I think the difference in that call, I like a player that protects the puck and kind of stiffens up. Mm-hmm. If you go back and watch the Zucker penalty, which Lindy was like, I didn't like the call. And he was yelling, and at the bench where you're yelling, and I wouldn't have called it in 3 minutes left in the game, 1-1 game. If I'm the referee, I probably don't call it. But
Marty, why though? A penalty's a penalty. Can we get away from that archaic thinking?
But I don't know, like, because you play a hard game. It's a hard game, and you make a
it's
hard play.
It's hard in the first minute most games if it's being played properly.
You've watched enough sports, Duffer, to know that these calls sometimes get not called late. We
I know,
argue
but
they
it's
should,
because we
but
fabricate this
it.
Myth that they shouldn't be called late. How about we be honest and have integrity from start to finish in games?
And the star players should be called just like the rookies. I get that. That's not the way it is. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel on it. That's the way the sports is always going
to be. Somebody needs to reinvent the wheel.
It's not going to happen. We can't take on
courage.
All the
Somebody
world's problem in
guts.
One situation. And it's, excuse me, wrong pipe.
Well, I can't help it because my pipes are clogged. So you're on your own.
But when Zucker reverse hits Clark, he lets go of the puck completely. He has the puck. He sees him come in. Doesn't even touch the puck, right? He never established control or possession of the puck. He knows the puck is in the vicinity, and he has two hands on the stick up in the air. Stick is off the ice, and he reverses. And after he makes contact, the referee, probably in the back corner, sees an elbow come up. The elbow didn't make a contact. Sees the elbow come up and sees Clark get hit in the face. Now, you and I both know the referees went to the penalty bench, and they discussed it. Hey, what did you see there? Because I saw an elbow to the head. Are we calling a 5 illegal hit to the head? The other referee probably said, no, the elbow was good. It was after it came up, but he did make contact. That we got to call roughing on that play or interference probably. But I think they discussed it. One referee saw it one way. They talked about it. Is it a penalty? Yeah, probably. Yeah. Is it a bad time? Absolutely. Was it bad because Matthias Samuelsson took a slashing penalty and compounded everything? Yeah. Yes, it was. And was it bad because the Sabres, like, grade A chances in the game, Duffer, okay, were 6-0 for Buffalo. High danger chances by Natural Stat Trick were 20-6 for Buffalo.
That, all situations, is important to note because that includes shorthanded, where Buffalo generated an awful lot last night too.
A ton. But that 20-4, 20-6, that +14, okay, mm-hmm. from the start of the 2022-2023 season, where the Sabres scored a ton of goals. Tage Thompson, 47. Tuck, 38. Whatever. They never had a plus 14 high danger chances game in the last 2+ years. Never. They had plus 14 in high danger chances last night. They had 6-0 in grade A chances and lose the game 3-1 in an empty net. Like, I'll take that. I'll take that every night. And unfortunately, the 5-on-3 didn't work, and you took those two penalties at the end of the game. Everything else, bottle it, bring it back at it again tomorrow night. I think it's fine. And I know they're 0-3. And fans are going to say they're 0-3. They could be 0-4 after tomorrow. I get it. And I almost want to throw in the garbage the two games in Prague against New Jersey and say this is going to be an 80-game season, because that team in New Jersey against New Jersey in those two games did not look anything like the Sabres looked last night. For whatever reason, the travel, everything happened.
You can keep doing this for the first 2 weeks if you want to minimize the season. The Los Angeles Kings hadn't played a game. So the reason Buffalo looked good last night is because they were playing a team that had never played. Like, that can be a real and accurate assessment.
That could be inaccurate. Yes, I'm not saying it is. We don't know that.
But if you're going to start picking and choosing what games to dismiss on the calendar, I think it's a dangerous avenue to go down. It's an 82 game season.
I remember doing it last year because
after
the first
2 games
last year,
and you didn't get them.
Yeah. After 2 games last year, I said, okay, let's throw away those 2 games and let's do 10 game segments from now on. 8-10 game segments or 16-5 game segments, and we're going to throw the first 2 games. I did the same thing last year. And maybe that's my glass half full player mentality that I always think. Of what's the next step? What do I have to do next? How do I get better?
Well,
I look at, okay, like the Sabres have had to work extremely hard to score goals. Like the Tuck goal in game two in Prague was Thompson goal in game two in Prague was after a bouncy puck and a scrum in front. Owen Power was the lone goal scorer in game one in Prague, and Tuck had to get a breakaway and a rebound to score a goal yesterday. Look, I think they are snake bitten because they're guys that can score a ton. And right now you have to work like 500% compared to what usually you have to do to try to score a goal.
So based on that comment that you just said, using the word snake bit, which Lindy Ruff used last night, because he was asked specifically, used that word in the question. People reaching on social at Sabres Live, does snake bit equal lack of finishers?
Yeah. Well, I know. I don't think they have a lack of finishing talent. Cousins had 6 shots on goal yesterday and some really good looks. Thompson, I mean, that chance in the third period, Kemper makes a glove save. That's a great chance, right? Mm-hmm. You had Tuck with some good looks. You had McLeod. Obviously, we don't know Ryan McLeod all that much yet. The thing in Edmonton is McLeod gets a lot of chances and he has a harder time finishing. I get that. But he had some really good looks. Now, Kemper makes a, highlight real save with the stick coming back on the goal line, just like Markstrom did on Obi Kubel game one. I get that. Benson had a goal, but it was after the time expired. There was some good looks. Thompson beats Kemper 5-0. And it hits the post behind him and comes out. Like, he thought he was beat. He thought it was 2-1 Buffalo. The goalie was like looking up like, oh man, I can't believe I gave up that goal. I think they have finisher, but I'm going to use the word snake bitten right now. Now, if in 2 weeks from now, we're sitting where Thompson only has 1 goal and Tuck only has 1 goal and Dallin has 0 goals. And then I'm going to say, okay, now you're having an issue in finishing and that needs to be the focus. Right now, I'm just going to say they're snake bitten because the numbers, you look at, the grade A chances, McLeod had 2, Tuck had 2, Zucker had 1, the B chances, Thompson had 3, Cousins had 2. Like, those are exactly the guys you would want to get those chances.
McLeod lobbied pretty hard to get the penalty shot call and got it. It was his first ever penalty shot attempt. He's never had a shootout attempt in the NHL, so he remains 0-for in that regard. Darcy Kemper, 3-for-4 lifetime in stopping penalty shots, and it really matters not, just like Benson not beating the buzzer at the end of the first. Matters not. But do you think we'll see more penalty shots called on plays like that are closer to the neutral zone than they are to the net?
We saw a ton of penalty shots called early in the season last year. It was like, oh, called penalty shots on everything, right? It was like,
oh yeah, we were on pace for like 400 of them, and then
we were on pace for an amazing amount of penalty shots, and then it kind of went away. Number one, the players are going to get smarter, and they know that if penalty shots are being called, then you don't hook at the blue line or in the neutral zone. And two, I think it's just, you know, referees are going to, well, okay, well, we called them early, and now unless it's a very, very flagrant foul, we're not going to call it. That's fine. Look, that was, McLeod had so many short-handed chances at that point, and that's another one on the penalty shot. That would have been a difference. We have to pick Alexis Leader every night, after the Sabres games and the post game. And my first and only reaction was Anze Kopitar. He has a hat trick, starts the third period with a goal, finishes the third period with the two goals. But, you know, you mentioned Darcy Kuemper, and I can't believe I didn't give the goalie more love reviewing the tape this morning and reviewing the numbers. I'm like, no, you know what? It was absolutely a big factor. That game should have been 3-4 or maybe 3-4-1 in the third period. And it wasn't because of Darcy Kuemper. Now, Kopitar scores the goals. So yeah, Alexis Leader for him. But Kuemper was a big, big reason for the way that the Kings were able to come back.
Kuemper was named the game's number one star in arena at KeyBank Center last night. So with that, now it's the Panthers, and they're practicing today, the Sabres, that is, and Peterka is out there, but Owen Power is not. So if we have the chance to give you an update before the end of the show, we will. If not, stay with Sabres social media and sabres.com for the latest in that regard. If Peterka comes back, what do the lines look like based on the fact that last night, Benson, while playing with Thompson and Tuck, had like 80% Corsi. Like they had a lot. All that being said, this is part two of the question. Despite the numbers situationally, shot attempt wise, and with certain lines, despite so many glowing numbers for the Sabres, could they have done a lot more? Meaning, I was a little surprised at the end of the first and the end of the second when we show you offensive zone possession numbers. I was surprised how close they were based on the wide gap. So was Buffalo like just having a gazillion one and done chances, in your opinion? Could they have gotten more second chances, more greasy, if you want to keep using that? Like, how did you view that? And thus, if Peterka comes back and does Benson stay on the line he was on? Does he move? How do you view all of that? That's a lot. Sorry.
No, that's great. Rebound chances yesterday, the Sabres really had two, right? Like, the LA Kings had none. The LA Kings did not have a lot of offense in the game. Like, to be honest with you, they didn't even get to, I think it was a 1.5 goals expected. And then you add the empty netter, so they went up a full goal. Like, an empty net is basically a free goal expected, but they didn't create a lot. But the Sabres, I felt, on chances around the net, did not get to the rebound. But look, you got to give LA some credit and Kuemper some credit, because 5-on-3, Thompson down the middle, that was really the only good chance. He catches Kuemper kind of underneath the right arm, but he's able to squeeze it. There was a breakaway Connor Clifton. He comes in, gets it tight to go through the legs. Kemper's completely turned around. If the puck is squirted loose, you got two guys there ready to put it in. There was nothing. Like, it was very sticky in the game yesterday, which didn't allow for the Sabres to get second opportunities, but they created enough on first opportunities. So if Peterka comes back, absolutely, Peterka goes with Thompson and Tuck. And I think absolutely Benson comes back with Cousins and Quinn. Now, some people may say, okay, but Jack Quinn is looking lost out there. And you are right. Jack Quinn is looking like he's second-guessing everything. Like, the 5-on-3, I feel like Jack Quinn didn't even know where to stand. He was standing in the, like, right side of the net. Like, he was almost lost. And then he has the first entry, and he turns it over, and it goes all the way down. I feel like Jack's in his head right now. So what do you do if you're Lindy Ruff? You obviously have to have that conversation. But do you say, okay, we're going to go – Kulik, Cousins, Benson on the second line. And Jack, you know what? You may take a step back and we're going to manage you a little bit more. Or do you keep him there to help with his confidence and it's going to come? So there is some lineup changes potentially, in my opinion, that may have to look at that. And two, what do you do on the back end? Look, I mean, I get it. It's a penalty on Mattias Samuelsson. We had him on the show yesterday, and he's going to be a big part of this team moving forward. Samuelsson is. I like the size. I like the way that he plays. But in three games, there was a moment in every one of those games where you're like, hey, that's tough luck, Mattias. Like, first goal against New Jersey, game one. He goes up the wall with it, turnover, it's in the net. Then he lays down on the one. Then there's the penalty. So I think that there's obviously maybe some personal changes going to affect the roster going into tomorrow that I could see happen.
Jordan Greenway skated before practice. He's not with the main group. Potential that he's just getting a little bit of a rest. We'll see on that. Therefore, it's hard to read into the lines with Greenway not being a part of the mix also. Yep. But let me say it, you were wrong, because Benson is with Thompson and Tuck. And
an opinion is never wrong. That's my opinion. But if I said that's what they will do, and then I'm wrong, then I'm okay with that.
Do we have to identify every time you open your mouth whether you're fact-based or opinion-based? Because it's usually, can't keep track.
So. It's usually opinion-based, but that's okay.
Well, there's a lot of... So at the end of all of that, how then do you get Quinn and Cousins specifically going and more of the secondary chances? Because, the reason I asked about, did they actually get enough rebounds and second looks last night, and this is not a straight-across comparison, but, did you see how many absolutely crappy goals were scored in the league last night?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Look at Macklin Celebrini's first goal.
Yeah.
It's a joke. And there were, nine of them that went in off of defensemen. And I just, that's where I sit and I go, if Buffalo's down around the crease, can they not, get a bounce here off of somebody? Because Samuelsson told it yesterday, when he's on the show, just be in the blue paint and create chaos. There's not a lot defensemen can do sometimes in those situations, right?
No, and obviously if you're big, it's going to be harder for anybody to move you out. I think that there's two ways to look at it. I absolutely hate when I'm in coaching minor hockey or, anything, when it's like, let's get it to the point and shoot it on net because let's get a bounce, right? Because that is, you're resorting to, let's hope to get a bounce. I think the Sabres have way more skills to just hope to get a bounce. They should right now, if you're snake bitten, you got to at least try to put some things on your side and say, hey, you know what? Let's get one off our pants, off my head, off my back, and go in. And that could open some type of floodgate. So I get that point. That cannot be your primary option to scoring goals. But when you've only scored 1-1-1, despite the scoring chances in last night's game, okay, you know what? Let me see if I can get a lot of shots. You know, Dahlin can shoot the puck a lot more than what he's shot. Byram can shoot the puck more. Mm-hmm. Power hit a crossbar early, but he can shoot the puck. I feel like everybody, they've got the defenseman to get it through. Okay, let's put that in the golf bag right here. Let's bring that club to the next time we play, because you know what? The other clubs aren't working so much right now. I know this club's going to maybe get me a boost.
Well, there was another comment sent our way on X at Sabres Live that involved the word skill, which you just spoke of. And based on recency bias, yes, Shayna Goldman is coming up in mere moments here on Sabres Live. The recency being
presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They had a big drop in goal scoring last year.
Yes.
Now they're still not scoring through the first, albeit three games.
Mm-hmm.
Are they a skilled team? Should they be thinking they're a skilled team? Are they not a skilled team? Should they be thinking of different ways to score? Like,
I think what they are, and Shayna will say it, and what they were 2 years ago was a rush team. A team that scored a ton on the rush. Again, yesterday, you talk about zone time possession.
Yeah.
They had a ton of chances, in my opinion, but not enough zone time to wear another team's down. Mm-hmm. And the chances, McLeod on a breakaway, Thompson partial breakaway, Tuck breakaway, it's a lot, Clifton breakaway, it's a lot of rush chances.
Yeah.
Rush chances are one and done, obviously, usually because you don't have a lot of bodies going. You have one guy, two guys, that's what it is. So their identity is they are a rush team. That's what they were 2 years ago. Last year, teams prepared for that and countered that. You have to develop a secondary identity of being able to grind teams down in their zones, mm-hmm. right? And when you lose the puck, you get right back on that and you get it back. I like what they've done better than last year, where if they have an issue in the defensive zone, they shoot it off the glass and out. Like, we haven't seen the let's bring it back in the corner, let's bring it back behind the net as much as we had the last few years, which is a good step from developing this, hey, we're not going to spend too much time in our own zone, which was an issue last year, but they have to develop this. We have to spend more time in the offensive zone. We can't just be about rush chances.
Amherst have their home opener tonight. It's against Belleville, and hopefully it's a big crowd at Blue Cross Arena. I'm sorry to miss it, but I'm going on 6 weeks under the weather, so I'm just going to lay low. And from that, we look forward to seeing all the youngsters again, right? Sure. Like dotted through that Amherst lineup tonight. Who's your one focal point?
Oh, I think Noah Oslin and yeah. Anton Wahlberg are my focals.
Well, that's not one, so pick one.
Focals point, because I add an S to everything. So when I put it in the computer, you said focal. I wanted to say focals, and I'm getting
focus.
To focus. Focus. I got two guys.
Natural Wahlberg S there on that one. Yeah. Well, mini packs, because there are many more home games at KeyBank Center this year, including tomorrow against the Panthers. You can grab mini packs for this season, bundle up five or more, pick the matchups you want, seat, obviously, locations that work best for you, and enjoy savings at the box office. So from a pricing standpoint, this makes a ton of sense. Visit sabres.com/mini packs. To purchase yours today. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic is next on Sabres Live.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Shayna Goldman in her Friday time slot on Sabres Live. Welcome back, Shayna. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to be like a real Friday this time. I feel like we've been mixing it up and doing Fridays on Thursday in our weeks. And
it is a real Friday, and Marty and I can mess up anything just about any day. Doesn't matter. Time, calendar, you name it. And
I actually feel like today's a Saturday duffer. And
oh God,
like, I thought yesterday was a Friday because my kids don't have school today. So I thought, like, for whatever reason, like yesterday, you know, they're out having fun. I'm texting my son thinking that's a Friday. I'm like, hey, good luck tomorrow at your game. Well, he doesn't play until tomorrow. It wasn't today. So my mind is all messed up.
Okay. This is where we become vulnerable to our audience. We sit here, we talk about stuff. We try to come across as informed. In the case of Marty, sometimes opinionated. Fact-driven. But the reality is we can't all know everything. Has something happened at any point this week where you're like, oh, I didn't realize that player was on that team? because I have a moment. So I'm curious whether you two are sharing in my, forgot about that transaction this summer.
Yeah, it's like NHL season kind of, it came about this year in a weird way with the scheduling and the vibes were so off. And then like day one of the season happened and I'm like, where are we? What are we doing? So yes, definitely a lot of those moments where I'm like, oh, okay. And I felt like going into the season, I'm like, I feel good about this. Like I've looked at every roster. I wrote about every team. And then the games are happening and I'm like, oh, Anthony Mantha's a Flame.
Yeah.
Right. All right, Bestie, well, go off. Enjoy your goal.
Like Boston last night, and Shayna, as you would expect, we spent a lot of time talking about the Rochester Americans, and they're arguably arch rival, historically and most recently, has been Syracuse, Tampa's farm club, and they've had Cole Koepke the last couple of years, and he's been a player to watch. And then all of a sudden, he's got a three-point night with the Bruins last night. I'm like, when did he end up with Boston? And of course, it was completely overshadowed on free agency because why would anybody be really paying attention on July 1st to that particular signing? So at a time where we're sitting here talking about the Sabres struggling to find goals, it gets even more pronounced when it's like other teams somehow harvested, you know, a player that's becoming a journeyman AHLer and getting production from them.
Well, mine is more of a star, but Tarasenko to Detroit. When I saw he scored yesterday, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Tarasenko is in Detroit. Didn't matter. They lost to Pittsburgh. But, yeah, Tarasenko to Detroit was a little something I had forgotten about.
Mickey, by the way, Redmond was he was so on. At, like, just his instinct to exhale immediately when a goal against happens for Detroit. Like, oh. Like, as in, oh, that was a bad one. Like, oh, they've got to pull the goalie. Oh, they, you know. So I love the genuine nature of that broadcast in Detroit.
Shayna, I know we're going to talk about a lot of things around the league maybe or whatever we want to discuss. But as we were going to break, we start to discuss, you know, what are the Sabres? And I'm like, okay, I look at the first two games against the Devils and I'm not going to put too much thought into those two games. It's a weird situation, whatnot. I've done it and it's weird. But last night they produced enough, a really good expected goals number, really played well defensively. 5-on-3 was bad in the first period and the Samuelson penalty was bad, but everything they created was off the rush. And I look at shot attempts from the slot off the rush yesterday, the Sabres had 11. That's 11 chances that you're creating off the rush. That's really, really good. But can a team that's a rush team, like the Sabres have been for 2 years ago, was great. Last year, not so much, but they still seem to be a rush team. Can they change their identity into more of a in-zone, grinding it out team that maybe we want to see a little bit more out of Buffalo?
Yeah, when you say that, I think of two teams in particular. I think of the Colorado Avalanche a couple years before they won, when they went to the playoffs, and we saw their rush game completely get snuffed out by the Golden Knights. Golden Knights were standing them up at the blue line. They weren't getting anything there. And they looked at it and they were like, do we change everything, right? And try to play a more physical, forechecking playoff style of hockey that we know works in that environment? Or do we become the best at what we do off the rush and round out our game? And I like that they didn't completely overhaul everything because what they have off the rush is so special. It's so good. It's so dangerous. But it's adding more variety. I also think of the Panthers of a couple years ago when Andrew Brunette took them into the playoffs, and that was the best rush team in the league. They were the best comeback team. They had all the pop and everything that you could want, but you have to keep in mind two things. One, they were the best comeback team because they felt all those deficits, and two, they had nothing else to bring to the table. Paul Maurice helped them become a better forechecking team, and we see the team go on to win the cup last year, and they're still a lead off the rush. It's not like someone said to Carter Verhaeghe, don't fly into the zone every chance you get. But here's something to extend your zone plays. Here's how you're going to work harder. So there's tactical adjustments to make. And I think having a coaching change is probably the best way to go about really overhauling the tactics. Mm-hmm. And there's roster adjustments to make. And we see the Panthers have that turnover around their core players with their supporting cast to have players that can grind it out a little bit more. So I think both of those are possible. It's finding that player. You have the two skill guys on a line, say, that are great off the rush. But now you're going to add that sandpapery player who can make key plays to, you know, retrieve pucks behind the net and keep cycle plays going and can forecheck to keep the offense in the zone a little bit longer. you have to just find a way to balance your strengths. And it's not an easy task. And I think for the Sabres team, it's not going to be easy because the roster is very similar to what it was last year. And now it's what can the coaching do? And then you can start assessing how does the roster need to change around it. But I think that there are some players like a Jordan Greenway who can pick it up a little bit to add that element to their game.
Greenway and Power were serving maintenance days today, thus not taking part in full practice. Paterka was back at full practice. His availability, Marty, will be more clear tomorrow when this group hosts the Florida Panthers. So any particular intriguing, exciting, fun thing that you've seen this week from around the league? Could be Utah's two season opening wins, could be whatever. What's top of mind for you, Shayna?
Utah is definitely top of mind because they're so fun and I love it. Because I feel like there's so much saltiness around them and I don't understand why. And I feel like people just keep forgetting how good they were last year. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse. I keep saying it, but before everything hit the fan last year, this was a good team showing a lot of progress. So now you have Gunther like serving star power on a nightly basis and people are forgetting, you know, you see that power play goal that Keller sets him up with the crossing pass and obviously he has to get the pass through, but there's Gunther by himself in the circle, no penalty killers in sight, no one near him. So if a pass gets through, he's wide open and he has the hot hand. So that caught my eye. Also, Vancouver. I feel like we should talk about Vancouver after that 4-1 collapse. Talk about getting complacent, and I get it, the Flames are the Flames, but they had an unreal 20 minutes. Like, they looked sick. And then, wow, did that one fall apart.
Is Utah making the playoffs?
Yes. Just
because you know, the buzz and the vibes, you love the vibes. You love that.
Love the vibes.
The first day vibes on Tuesday, ESPN on location all day. Like, not just for the game at night, like all day. And the fans there and the vibes in Utah. And then they have to get on a plane and travel to Long Island to be able to play on the road, right? Their first ever road game. Like, these guys have never been on the road before. Like, it just drives me nuts. But anyway, so Utah's making the playoffs, in your opinion?
Yeah. Pour me a giant soda. Forget the coffee. I'm going full Utah. I've been seeing, like, the TikToks with the half and halves and the sodas and the coffee creamers, and it's a lot. But, like, sign me up if this is what we're getting. I'm loving this. I love this team. They're just fun and exciting.
How about the beer consumption that first home opener game in Utah? I think they said 120,000 in beer sales that night, the most ever at the Delta Center for any events. Like, hockey fans somehow, Salt Lake City, I don't know, they drink up. That was the number one thing I saw in my feed after the game the other night.
I respect it, right? Like, I feel like everyone's made such a big deal of, like, little, there's, like, little details, right? The obstructed views. I know it's not a little detail to everyone, but, like, they're just, like, taking these little storylines, like, the obstructed views and the beers, and they're just being, like, let's create chaos over that. And it's, like, can you do a second of research? They can drink beers at the games. There's just different ways of how you have to be approved to have beer at games. And, you know, the obstructed views, there's a reason for it. There's so many things I feel like people are trying to poke fun at. Like, we're not allowed to have fun in this league. Like, we'll talk about the Leafs when we need to, and we'll be miserable with you guys. But, like, can we just have fun for a second? Because this team went through it, and anything's better than a college arena. Now you're somewhere with an owner who cares. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's fun. And
he has his hat on backwards on TV, and he's doing, like, Zoom interviews with NHL Network. And yeah, definitely. And they're going to put a ton of money in the whole building and everything. So I love the vibes in Utah for sure.
You want to change your opinion on St. Louis here in the first week?
My opinion was they weren't going to be good.
That's what
mine
I'm asking.
Was they were going to be really good.
They're 2-0 and they're finding ways.
Oh. Yeah, but, like, I don't like what I'm seeing. Like, I game one, the comeback was nice, but they still got in that hole in the first place. And then game two, I'm like, you played the Sharks, who were not good. Like, Celebrini had his highlights and that line had something going, but otherwise you're like, the Sharks were not good. That you should have won that handedly. I'm going to be extra critical about the Blues forever, I feel like, because I feel like there's so much potential and I have so many roster building questions, and it's not like I want them to fail, but I just look at this team and I'm like, you can have a couple good stretches here or there, but I feel like every time that happens, it blinds them from the big picture that should be, like, staring at them in the face. But then again, like, when you secure your general manager's job till what, 2029, and already name his successor in place, who cares about the right now? You have a long-term plan in place for you.
Are we worried about the Nashville Predators if UC Soros is not healthy and misses quite some time or gets hurt during the season? Like, Wedgwood has been a good backup in Dallas, but UC Soros is the savior in that team. So are we worried, especially since they lost 4-3 and the Stars only had 20 shots?
Yes and no. I'm worried long-term because obviously you want to have a starting goalie. And while everyone in the league the last couple of years has tried to convince us that goaltending doesn't matter, it does, especially for certain teams. But the thing that gives, like, I think they could take a little bit of solace in is how good they are in front of the net. When you look at their run last year, was goaltending a part of it between Lankanen and Soros? Yes, but it wasn't the driving force. I would say it's the 5-on-5 play that was. They were a top three team in expected goal creation and expected goal suppression from that February 15th turnaround through the end of the season. So they have the juice to be really good, even if they don't have Soros in net. Now they should be better with the reinforcements they have. They're not a one-line team. Like, I think that second line is going to be sick, and I think Brady Shea is going to fit there. But I think they're going to take a little bit of time because it was a lot of turnover to now everyone gel together with these, like, big – they're not just, like, depth additions. These are big additions. Yeah. So I'm going to give them a few minutes before I worry, and then we'll see if this, like, is a trend that continues going forward and they lose games like this. And even if you're, you know, you're scoring three, but you're allowing four, like, that's going to become a concern, but I'm not there yet.
And I know it's only one game, but should we jump a little bit on the Jake Oettinger comeback goalie of the year? Like, he was really good last night, and last season there was a lot of up and down, but a lot of people think, and I think he could be a top five goalie in the league. And last night he was a big reason why Dallas went. So should we jump on that bandwagon early in the season? If there's some betting people out there that are looking at dark horse to win the Vezina or, you know, the win totals, like, is that somebody we should jump on?
Yeah, I feel like he's going to have a much better year. I don't think he's going to win the Vezina. I think my hot take is that Vasilevsky is going to get himself back in the Vezina race now that he's healthy this season. I think he's just going to, like, take over. I think it's going to be like him, Shesterkin, and probably Hellebuck. But I think that Oettinger,
you didn't
for sure.
Say Allmark. I think Allmark is a
Allmark. I'm loving Allmark in Ottawa, but I think the problem's going to be Vezina finalists are judged so heavily on wins, whether or not it's the goalie's fault. And I think that's going to hurt him because I think they're going to be a fringe playoff team, like on the bubble, in or out. Who's to say? Not me. But Oettinger, I'm very here for the comeback because he started to look better in the playoffs. After like a shaky game one, I remember against Vegas, like he started to get it together finally. It was a really weird year for him. And I think the year before we kind of saw him hit that wall, which makes sense for how many, like so many goalies are not accustomed to that workload. So then he got it and he had to find his footing. Mm-hmm. I am intrigued by what Dallas is doing to manage his workload, like on the ice for practices. And I think that they've taken an interesting approach with their sports science development. So I wonder if that's going to be a factor here too, but I think he's going to have a bounce back year.
Tampa and Carolina playing tonight. And that is the first games for each of those teams. Shayna, thank you as always. We'll see you again next week here on Sabres Live.
Thanks for having me.
Next right, Friday, question mark.
Yeah, exactly. Back after this, as we set up the Amerks and their home opener tonight. Stay with us.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Don't forget, Amerks are starting their season tonight at Blue Cross Arena as Belleville provides the opposition. So we look with great interest as far as the development of, again, another wave of incredibly talented high draft picks, but still surrounded, I would say, by some significant veterans like Brett Murray, Josh Dunn, and the new captain, Yabo.
Yeah.
Mason Yops. Mason so Yops. Good for him. He's really, really carved out quite a place, I think, you know, in Amerik's team history, just based on what he's been able to give so far at this age of his career and clearly what he can now still do for the young players on that team.
Bit of a change of the guard with the leadership in Rochester, the coaching, you know, head coaching job. Michael Leone taking over Seth Appert, who's on the bench in Buffalo. So, yeah, this is great, and good luck to the Amherst. I have the game program behind me. You can maybe see it if I move over right there from 1967-68, I believe. That's what I got as a gift going to Lancaster High School. But anyway, good luck to the Amherst. Duffer, WGRZ Channel 2 put out a tweet this morning, and You know, because with WGR 550, and that's WGRZ, like a little, you know, maybe cousins or whatnot. But basically it says, Sabres broadcaster robbery calls Storm 2's Patrick Hammer sledgehammer in a funny postgame intermission reaction yesterday, which was great. I want to go up on the roof and I want to check it out myself now because Razor was up there. But when he called him sledgehammer, I wanted to like say, well, it's Patrick Hammer. But anyway, I just had to keep it with sledgehammer. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, it was a Razorism. Yeah. There's no question about that. And we're all guilty of our own isms for sure. Anything intrigue you? Well, no, let me actually put it this way, because yeah. Florida is here next and they're coming off a loss to Ottawa.
Yes.
And they play at Boston on Monday. Do you think it's Bobrovsky again, or do you think Spencer Knight plays?
I think Spencer Knight plays. I think that, look, they have to go into the year with a plan. Bobrovsky is like a top-end goaltender in the National Hockey League, but you can't play him. And he wants to play a lot, but we know, like, he got tired 2 years ago when he got to the playoffs and, you know, in the finals, he didn't look himself. You got to manage him. He's a hard worker, but you got to manage him. So I think you got to look at it and say, okay, you just beat on Boston the first game. You're going back to play Boston. We're going to use you again, but we'll use Spencer Knight in Buffalo. And it's not because Buffalo had a tough start, just because I think when you look at the schedule, that's the way you're going to plan it.
And you would go with Levi?
I would go with Devon Levi tomorrow night, even though UPL was good yesterday.
6:30 pregame for us, Saturday Night Hockey from KeyBank. Can't wait to see you then. Enjoy the weekend, folks.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.